Let me tell you something. I knew you'd raise your hand. Let me tell you something. You've heard me preach, and I will continue to do so. God is the God of the natural as well as the supernatural, and he operates in both realms equally so, and both are equally important. And sometimes we, being reborn of the Spirit, we kind of tend to forget, and we get caught up in the spirit realm without realizing God's at work in the physical realm as well. You know, Tuesday night was a spiritual moment, but it was as much in the physical realm as it was the spirit realm. And I as a pastor for the past 36 years, have found that we usually go to one extreme or the other. God is the most balanced being in the universe. And we must remember that this is our Father's world, and he hasn't forsaken it. Anybody know who Zerubbabel is? He's not your uncle or distant cousin, I don't think. Anybody know who Zerubbabel is in Scripture? You see, I asked that we would sing this song, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, because the Bible is very clear. Can we have the other verse for a second? Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. This is Zechariah's prophecy. Zechariah, he says, he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. We grab a hold of that, and we want to make it our own. But the Bible is very clear. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. So in its context, who's Zerubbabel? Who was this word being given to? Back to Haggai chapter 1, verse number 1, we compare scripture with scripture to get to the truth, and this is what it says. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came of the word of the Lord by Haggai. I want you to underline that. That's important. By Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of somebody, I can't pronounce it, governor of Judea. Now, I want you to note that. This is the word of the Lord to the politician. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the governor. And what's he saying when he said he prophesied? So here's the Lord speaking through the prophet to the governor. And he says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. So to what is he speaking? What is he applying it to? It's very important that we understand it. He's applying it to, what he's saying is, he's saying, Zerubbabel, governor, I'm going to use you to bring the children of Israel back out of captivity, back to Jerusalem. You're going to lead it, the governor. And I say that as a foundation to what I want to say this morning as pastor of this church. And that is, this week I had I very seldom get the opportunity to hear the heart of a politician. That's what I appreciated. We get to hear their policy. We get to hear their platform. We get to hear all the bold claims of what they're going to accomplish and how they're going to do it right and the other fellow did it wrong. And we hear all that kind of stuff. We hear, and don't misunderstand me, the intent is good, and some of those things are accomplished and some of them are not accomplished. But what I'm saying to you this morning is this: very seldom do we get to hear the heart of a politician, which to me and to us as Christians should be vitally important. Why is that? Because the Bible says, out of the heart, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it come all the issues of life. So if you listen to a politician's heart, you can hear what they truly value. And if you know what they truly value, then you can believe that they're going to vote that way or go that way or whatever. If you hear a person's heart, that's really what they are. It's just not a lot of surface rhetoric. And it was a great thing to hear Eileen's heart at that presbytery meeting. We can hear what our question should always, as Christians, our question should always be this: it is mine anyway. Do they value righteousness? It is so, let me just say publicly, it was so good to hear a politician to be, I'm stepping out of faith now, who values righteousness. Now, I know some people say politics has no place in the pulpit. Politics, you know, I never favor one politician over the other as an individual unless, what is that? I believe that we, the people of God, should value those that value him. Because he's number one in our life. And I'm not here on the campaign trail for Eileen Taylor. Not by any long shot. But I am one who listens and wants to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and what he's saying. And God does speak in the political realm. And God calls individuals because he said, he who is not for me is against me. Now, that's his words. That's not my words. I'm not putting words in the mouth of Jesus. He who is not for me is against me. And so God has chosen some to be in the political arena. I said God has chosen some. In our previous pastorate, I had the mayor in my congregation. I had the two members of the opposing political, the PCs and the liberals in my congregation. And so I had to tread very carefully and not be seen as favoring one over the other because they were, and I had another family who was running as mayor and one who is the sitting mayor and one who is the sitting premier and the opposing leader of the PC party. They were all in my congregation. What do you do with that? Well, we just prayed for them all. That's pretty simple. And that's what they did back in the day. They prayed and said, Lord, let it be your choice. Let it be your favor. Let it be your blessing. Let your will be done. In all of this, we want your will. And for anyone that says that politics should not be in the church, well, let me give you some biblical background. All right? Here's just a few. Joseph was prime minister, was he not? Daniel in the government of Darius and Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus had prominent political positions of authority. Daniel wasn't just a prophet, he was very much a politician. Called there by God. Mordecai was a politician. I guess King David being king in that cultural setting definitely was a politician. Zerubbabel was the governor. Nehemiah was the cupbearer, but he was very much involved with the in politics. So that's just a few, and maybe that's all of them. I don't know. You can root it out and do your own study. So I asked Eileen, because I just felt to do so. I asked her if she would come and I would like for her to come and share what she shared at that meeting, which was her heart, and she was very transparent, and I'm going to ask her to come now if she would. By the way, it's good to have Wes, who is currently the sitting MLA. Good to have you with us, and we would like to have the privilege to pray for you and with you, Wes, and your wife. Maybe after she speaks, we'll have you to come. And we have been given the privilege to pray and to vote. Don't neglect either one of it. You know, evil prevails when good men say nothing. Amen. The rest is yours.
Whoops. Well, thank you, Pastor Peter, and thank you to the church for having me come and speak. When Pastor Judy, my church in Wainwright, asked me to come and speak to the ministers, It's a very terrifying experience because you immediately want to say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to bare my soul and let you really know what's going on. And I did the same when Peter asked me. It's like, I really don't want to. The reason is that I am 10 days away from either winning or losing this nomination. And it would be really easy after I won it, to say, you know, praise God, I won. You know, we're going to go forward. And equally, if I lose, to say, well, you know, it wasn't God's will, so be it. But to be in the middle and say, you know, I believe God has called me to do this, and I'm going to do it, and I believe I'm going to win. That's hard, because that takes a lot of faith. But that's where I'm standing. I'm not really a preacher, so I'm just kind of more a storyteller, so I'm going to tell you my story. About 4 years ago, Wes decided that he was going to seek the nomination for the Wild Rose Party. And I was excited because, you know, more Christians that we can get into politics, the more exciting it is, the better it is for us. So, you know, that was great, and I supported him, and he won, and that was really good, too. And after he won, I knew what my position was. My position was to be an intercessor. I can do that. That's easy. It's me and God. So I printed out all the MLAs, including the NDP ones, and I started to pray for them. Not nearly as much as I should have, but I did. I would go through their entire name, and I would pray for each one of our politicians. And, you know, when I was up in Edmonton, I would walk around the legislature, and I would pray, and I'd walk inside the building. I can only get on the first floor without Wes. But I would walk around there, and I'd pray. Not as much as I should have, but that's what I would do. And, you know, I was comfortable in that position. You know, I could follow behind Wes. I could hide behind him when I needed to. That's just me. I'm not a public speaker. So that was all good until about a year and a bit ago, when Wes had to have open-heart surgery. And because of that open-heart surgery, he decided that he gets tired too quickly, and he wasn't able to run in the next election, and he made that decision. And it kind of bothered me, because he was, you know, a man of God, and he was up there, and he was fighting the battle. And I knew what was going on. I know how evil, and I don't say that lightly, I know how evil that legislature building is right now. The policies that they're trying to put through, they are trying to destroy our country and trying to destroy our province as we know it. And he was the one person that, you know, that would hold up the godly standards that people would come to and ask for prayer. And so it really bothered me. And it was then that I started hearing God say, well, you know, you should run. And I'm going, nope, that's not me. I don't public speak. I don't do any of that stuff. I hide behind Wes. That's what I do. And I kept hearing, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And I go like, no, God, you got it wrong. You got the wrong person. And this went on for months. And my answer was always the same. It's like, no. And then he made the public announcement that he wasn't going to seek re-election again. And everywhere we went, we would run into somebody who would say, you know, I'm really sorry that you're not running again, Wes. And then they would turn to me and they'd go, you should run. And I'm going, no, this isn't me. And that continued for a while. And then it got to the place where I needed to make a decision one way or the other. Either I was going to run or I wasn't going to run. And I was praying about this, because this is not an easy thing to do, and it's not something you take lightly. So I was praying about it, and it was then that I had a vision. And I come to the end of my life, and God, I met Jesus, and he had this really disappointed look on his face. You know that look that only a parent can give a child? Well, that is the look he had. And he said to me, if you would have done what I asked you to do, Alberta would be a different place today. And so it's like, oh boy, I can't you know, I don't want to go to heaven and see a disappointed Jesus. So I said, okay, fine, I will do it. But you have to go with me every step of the way. Because I can't do this. I can't public speak. I can't do it. I can't do any of it. So that's what he's been doing. And, you know, it's okay if I lose. It's okay if I make a fool of myself. But the one thing that I can't do is disappoint my Jesus. So that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm trying to run in this nomination. I believe that when I win, my position in that legislation is going to be to pray. It's going to pray for our province. And it's going to be to pull as many other people as I can to pray. Because that is the only thing that is going to heal our land. God says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. And I believe that that is a promise for us. But I came across this book. It's by Dr. Billy Brim. And it's called, First of All, A Time of Awakenings. And it really, really struck me. What she says in the book, if we go to 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 3, it says, I urge you, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authorities, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. First of all, that means before we pray for our family, before we pray for ourselves, before we pray for anything, first of all, we need to pray for those who are in government. We need to pray for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. We need to pray for Kevin Sorensen. We need to pray for Rachel Notley. That's hard. We need to pray for Jason Kenney. We need to pray for Wes Taylor. We need to pray for our mayors, our counselors. We need to pray for them. And it is so important because that's where the fight is fought. It is fought on our knees, not anywhere else. So I would just like to leave you with that. And I am so grateful. Even today, Linda Pierboom came up to Wes and I, and she goes, you know, I pray for you almost every day. And you, that is just such a blessing to know that people are praying for you. The very first thing that I did when I made this decision that this was, you know, what God was calling me to do, was I called up people that I knew who prayed. And I asked them, I said, you know, this is what I believe God's doing for me. I need you to pray for me because I can't do this on my own. And there's no way that I can. I can't be up here telling you my story without God's help because he's the one that makes the difference. And he's the one that's going to heal our land. And there is just one more thing that I'd like to say. You know, as Christians, we are powerful. And we're not just powerful in prayer. We're powerful as a voice. Your voice matters. And the left side, the Democrats, whatever you want to call them, the socialists, they want to destroy our way of life. They want to destroy us as Christians. They hate us. If they have their way, they will close every school. David Eggen, Minister of Education, has made this very clear. If he has his way, he will close every school. He will close every Christian school. He will close every private school. He will close homeschooling. He hates it all. He wants one public school system because in one public school system, he can control what those children are taught. And if we lose this generation, We lose them. We've lost them. And we've lost our country. So we can't let him by with what he wants to do. I don't know if you're familiar with Cornerstone Christian Academy. It's in Wes's riding. It's in Kingman near Camrose, small little community. It had about 180 students that went there. The Battle River School Division attacked them, and we fully believe that it was a test case to see how it would be perceived in the, you know, in the community, in the world. They decided that they were going to close that school. They called it a protocol, communication protocol was what they finally came down to as a reason for closing it. But that had nothing to do with it. It really had to do with the fact that they were Christian and they hate Christians. And so they closed it. They really did. They ended up closing it. But the interesting part was, and the good news is that they were able to reopen and get a private school status, but because of that, they lost some of their funding and, of course, some of their students, and it's a very sad case. But if you stop to think, what would have happened had Christians moved forward, put their name forward, supported each other, and ran for the school board? So that we would have had more Christians on that school board that refused to let that school close. What would have happened? What would happen? There are 2,214 memberships in this Vermilion, Lloydminster, Wainwright riding. That's it. 2,214 people will decide who is going to be, assumedly, the next MLA for this area, because we're pretty sure that whoever wins this nomination is going to become the next MLA. Now, probably about 50% of those people are going to vote. Just stop and think for a minute. What would happen if we had 2,214 Christians who joined the party, who became members, and who turned out to vote? They could decide who would be the next MLA. And we probably don't even need that many, because like I said, only half of those people will probably show up to vote. What would happen if that happened throughout the province of Alberta? If Christians actually got active, we joined forces, and we fought. We actually got out of our seats and we said, you know what, politics matters. And I'm going to join. I'm going to join the party I believe in. And I'm going to fight to make sure that the person who gets elected believes what I believe. And I'm going to ask those questions. You know, I've been running in this race for about 2 months now. And I've had two people actually ask me what my belief is on abortion, what my belief is on, you know, doctor-assisted suicide. That's it. Two. Out of 2,214 people. It's just something to think about. We are an active voice, and we need to, as Graham sang that song today, we are in a war. We are. We're in the last days. So let's make our voice heard. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I thought you did really well for somebody who doesn't speak publicly.
That's God, not me.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lord, you know, he wants the battle to be fought on both levels.
He does.
The level of the voice and on the knees. So, yes, we as a church do need to awaken. It's not too late. And just like I said to Rochelle, is it Rochelle? Rochelle. Just like I said to Rochelle, on a Tuesday night when she was about to make a decision between whether she would give her heart to the Lord or not. I said to her, she'll confer, please don't feel any pressure from me. I'm not saying you must do this. This has to be your decision. If God has brought you to this and you'd like for me to pray with you, then I'll pray with you. But if you feel pressure from me, we are not in the arm-twisting business, but that's no excuse for inactivity. Amen. Don't twist anybody's arms or try to convince anybody of anything. That's the Holy Spirit's job, whether it be in the political arena. And I personally honor those who would step out into the, I call it the lion's den of the political arena, the lion's den. I'm just glad it's you and not me. But God has his calling and his finger and his people upon everything. And God favors those who favor him. And so I'm on side with those that favor him. Righteousness exalteth the nation. We're at a critical hour in our nation. Aren't we, Linda? That's what the battle for Canada was all about. Can you see the Lord's finger in all those realms? A finger in the realm of the spiritual with the Battle for Canada conference in North Battleford. A finger in the political realm with what he's bringing about here today. Hey, God's with us, folks. God's with us. Amen. It's interesting, I was reading this morning in my devotions, Bible reading, I was reading in the book of Ezekiel. And what I was reading was the Lord, Ezekiel was caught up in a vision. And he said, come, Ezekiel, I want to show you something. And he brought him to the north gate and he said, look behind the wall, see what they're doing? And there was a hole in the wall. He said, look in there, see what they're doing there? And he began to show them. He began to show Ezekiel what the leaders were doing behind the scenes. And that seems to be what's happening to the church. God is showing us stuff that's going on behind the scenes. A lot of these bills are being passed, you know, without the general behind the scenes, if we can slip them in the back door. A lot of that, and it is evil. There's no question about that. Behind the scenes. Anybody know what bill, what is it? What's that bill number? Anybody know what Bill 75 is? Nope, 75. A lot of people don't know what Bill 24 is, which is an attack upon the church and upon the Christian school. There's no question about that. Already been passed, by the way. Did you know that? Already been passed in Alberta. But there's a bill being introduced this Tuesday called Bill C-75 in Ottawa. Anybody know what that is? That is a bill that they want to put forward to be passed to reduce the penalty that will be paid, that criminals will have to pay. You know, the government won't be so harsh on punishing whatever there's a whole list of. Terrorists, traitors, whatever. Yeah, they would reduce the penalty. I don't think we're living in a day when the penalty needs to be reduced, but I don't want to launch into my opinion here. We're sticking to the word. We're safe when we stick to the word. Amen. So we're going to go our next step. We're going to pray for our MLA and his good wife, who has been willing to step into the lion's den. Would you mind coming forward and we'll pray for you? I'm going to ask the congregation to come and stand with them. Yep. Now it's up to you who you vote for. I'll leave that between you and God, but we can pray for everybody. Amen. We're going to pray for Wes, first of all, that God would touch him, heal him, give him full restoration. That'll be good. Amen. You say, well, I'm not a supporter of that party. That's okay. We're even if they're your enemy, we love our enemies. There's no way around that one. Amen. Father, let's join together. I just pray for Wes today. I thank you for his walk with God. I pray that you would, Lord, you always honor those who honor you. And you see every time that this man has stood up for you, and every time maybe that he didn't. You know the secret things. You understand the full picture. We are only wired to know in part, and you only give us enough light for that part. And we all have our part. Thank you for it, Father. Lord, in your grace and your mercy, I just pray that you would touch Wes. Thank you for preserving his life. Thank you for good physicians who served him well. I pray for a speedy recovery from this heart issue. I pray a healing hand of Almighty God. Touch him and heal him and restore him and guide him and minister to him. We pray for Eileen today. Thank you for her willingness. Lord, we don't know what it's all about. We are only being obedient to the next step. Where this all leads is in your hands. I pray for her. Lord, we're living in a dark day, and our country is at the tipping point of what direction it will go in. We want righteousness, Lord. We are after what you are after in our nation. I pray that you would give us your strength. Pray for Eileen today. Give her your strength. Your blessing is already upon her. We don't have to pray for that. That's already there. Give her your strength. Give her your heart. Certainly you've already given her a snapshot into your heart. We've seen that this morning. Lord, we want to stand for what you stand for. We want to stand for righteousness and godliness in our nation. I thank you so much for politicians that are willing to step into that realm, even though it can be difficult, and it is in the trenches, no doubt about that. And so we pray for the Spirit of God. We heard it this morning, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You're the one who controls the heart of the decision makers. So I pray, Father, that in your mercy, you'd have mercy on our nation. Have mercy on our children. Be gracious unto us. In the name of Jesus, we intercede, Father, and we pray that what needs to be removed will be removed, and what needs to be installed will be installed. We are being obedient to your word. Your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, well, we humble ourselves before your throne. We need you in our government, Lord. We don't want to lose our nation. We don't want to lose our children. We love our children and our grandchildren. We don't want this nation to plunge into deeper darkness, Father. History shows us what that is and what the results of that is. So we join with the hearts and voices of many across our nation from sea to sea. Lord, save Canada. Save our nation. Save our country, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the name of all that Jesus died for, Father, we pray that you would save our nation. And if that means removing one, you are a God who removes one and raises up another. Whatever that means, Father, may your hand of involvement be involved in it, and may your will be done. Meanwhile, we pray for our Prime Minister. We pray for our Premier. We pray for our Mayor, our municipal heads, our councillors, MLAs. We pray for them all. Father, we pray that the grace of God would be poured out upon them as they walk towards you. Those that don't know you, we pray that you would open their hearts and they would surrender their lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Is there anyone that pops in your mind that I might have forgotten there? I think I covered it on most levels. If you could be seated just for a moment, please. Just for one more moment. We're having potluck after service this morning, and then we're going to have the plan to protect training immediately thereafter. But before, if you're here in this service and you're not a Christian, you haven't given your life to Jesus, then we would invite you to do so. We would invite you to join the winning team. Because we're going to win one way or the other.